working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. We are under a winter weather advisory until 6 o'clock tonight. Currently, our temperature is 31 degrees, wind chills at 19, humidity's at 55, the wind's out of the north, 19 miles an hour, gusting up to 24. I will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up later in the show. Oh, speaking of Hobart Farm and Garden, always bragging on their guns and their ammo and all that good stuff over there in that one room. If you guys have never been down there, you need to go down there, not only because of what I always brag about, but they actually are a awesome farm supply store. Outside, they got panels, chutes, anything you need out there, continuous fence, the whole nine yards, gates, and then inside it's like a big hardware store, not only for agriculture, but for the any homeowners or something needs repaired, faucets and all that good stuff. And a really good set of guys that run that down there. Always nice, always helpful. And so anyway, I just wanted to say that. I thought about that the other day. I'm always bragging about the guns and ammo and the Twisted X boots and shoes and stuff over there. I need to talk a little more about. They're actually a great farm supply store. My Pivot had a valve go out on it down there early last year, and man, ran over there and they had exactly what I needed to repair that valve on my Pivot. So anyway, it's a good place to be. So anyway, well, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Let's see how the cash grain prices are doing in Oklahoma as of right now. Hard red winter wheat is at $10.04. It was below $9 this morning, but it's at $10.04 a bushel, up plus 30. Corn is at $7.36, Milo's at $7.14, and soybeans are at $15.79. And let's just take a look at the live cattle market here real quick. Sorry, I didn't have my stuff together here. Here we go. Anyway, we got oil is hanging in there. It was down to 105. It's back up to 108. Oh, FYI, for you diesel eaters on the pickups that just love your diesel pickups, United here in Elk City, stroll by there, $3.74 a gallon. And at 9 o'clock, there was three or four trucks waiting in line to fill up. So if you're wanting some cheap diesel today, head on over there to United. They got a $3.74. That's pretty good, isn't it? I got a picture of it. I'm not lying to you. Live cattle for April is up 137.32. For June, 133. August, 135.12. Live cattle for October is 142.87. Feeder cattle, 153.23. For March, April, 158.22. Lean hogs are even up. April, 102.52. May, 109.95, June, 117.90. And cotton is hanging in there around 116 to 117. It's not taking a big hit, but cotton's not being affected right now by what's all going on all over the world. But soybean futures plunged overnight, and grains also were lower as traders react to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates. Ending stocks for 2021-22 marketing year that ended on August 31st are forecast at 285 million bushels, and that's down from the previous month's outlook of 325 million bushels, but well ahead of the trade expectations for 273 million. Global inventories are pegged at 90 million metric tons, and that's down from 92.8 million tons expected last month, according to the government. But topping trade forecast for the 88.6 million metric tons. Corn stocks in the United States at the end of August were now seen at 1.44 billion bushels, and that's down from 1.5 billion bushels, but just under the trade expectations of 1.46 billion bushels. Global inventories are forecast at 301 million metric tons, and that's down slightly from the February estimate of 302 million. Domestic wheat inventories are seen at 653 million bushels, up from the previous month's forecast as 648 million bushels, and well ahead of the analyst's forecast of 627 million. Wheat prices, however, are being underpinned by the escalating Russian attacks on Ukraine. Russian forces launched attacks on several cities they previously avoided in Ukraine. And I'm not even going to attempt to announce some of these cities that they're doing. But anyway, troops have moved closer to the capital city. About 2.5 million people have been forced to flee Ukraine after the Russia attacks, according to the data from the United Nations. The UN also says it has credible reports that Russia is using cluster bombs in Ukraine, which is against international law and may be construed as a war crime. Russia is the world's largest exporter of wheat, and Ukraine is the third biggest, according to the USDA, with Australia coming in second and the United States in at fourth. Soybean futures for delivery dropped 13.5 cents to $16.72 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $4.80 to $478.90 a short ton, and soybean oil futures fell 1.3 cents to 73.38 cents a pound. Wheat for May delivery lost 8.25 cents to $10.78.75 a bushel, while Kansas City futures fell 1 cent to $10.64.75 a bushel. Corn futures for May delivery dropped 3.5 cents to $7.52.25 a bushel. Well, sales of corn last week jumped to the highest level since the marketing year started on September 1st, according to the Ag Department. Corn sales in the 7 days that ended on March 3rd totaled 2.14 million metric tons, and that was a marketing year high. That's up from 485,000 metric tons a week earlier and a noticeable gain from the prior four-week average, the agency said in its report. Here we go. Again, an unnamed country was the biggest buyer at 800,600 metric tons, followed by Japan at 398,000 tons and Mexico at 290,000 tons. Saudi Arabia purchased 140,000 metric tons, and Colombia came in there with 129,600 tons. The total would have been even higher, but El Salvador canceled 22,500 tons. Exports for the week reported at 1.76 million metric tons, and that's up 14% week to week. Wheat sales were modestly higher, rising to 307,200 metric tons, a 2% increase from the previous week and 21% higher than the average. The Philippines bought 133,000 tons, Mexico 111, Japan was in there for 26,000 tons, Colombia took 17,000 tons, and the Dominican Republic purchased 13,100 tons. Sales for the 22-23 marketing year that starts on June 1st is already totaling 63,000 tons. Exports for the week rose 5% to 384,500 tons. Soybean sales last week jumped 2.2 million metric tons, and that's up from 857,000 tons the previous week and noticeably from the prior average. China leads buyers, purchasing 1.5 million metric tons from U.S. supplies. An unknown destination bought 334,000 metric tons. Egypt took 181,000 tons. Mexico was in there for 142,000 tons. And Vietnam purchased 114,000 tons. for the 22-23 marketing year that starts on September 1st of this year, sales of 895,000 metric tons were already reported, as China has bought 797,000 of those tons already. Exports for the week totaled 834,900 tons, and that's up 11% week to week, according to the USDA in its report. Well, winter weather advisories have been issued for a lot of places, southeastern New Mexico into southern Michigan, according to the National Weather Service. Temperatures in Oklahoma and the Texas panhandles was hovering around 17 degrees this morning. In eastern Missouri and southern Illinois, about 1 inch of snow was on the ground, kind of like here. Slippery conditions were everywhere. Winter storm warnings and advisories are all the way from New Mexico through Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, all through the Mississippi Valley. So it's just a big front everywhere, and it's going to be windy. Well, when I come back, I want to talk about some bull sales coming up. Also later in the show, I got the report from the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday, and not such a good report from the U.S. Drought Monitor. It's not looking any better for us. Matter of fact, they've worsened our deal. So I'll cover that coming up, and we'll talk about some other stuff with bulls, because it is bull season, and I don't want to miss out on all this hot news on the bulls. So I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before, and your gears change, and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Their genetics work. They've got proof. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale is Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. Selling 100 18-month-old Red Angus Bulls, 30 registered bred fall calving heifers, and 15 registered open heifers. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 p.m. B&L values low inputs with high efficiency, added pounds through genetic merit, and honest females that make it happen year after year. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale, Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. For catalog and videos, log on to blredangus.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyard's, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, as you guys know, we're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KECOFM.com. We're streaming live on the Paragon app on your phone, which is actually a free download, by the way. So anyway, you get a chance, get on there and look at me. I got my Ed Carter Jr. look going on. I got my flat bill hat, like I'm off the streets going on. I got my vest going on, my Quail Forever vest going on. I mean, I don't have his bushy black hair, and I don't look much like him, but anyway, it's the look. It's the look that counts. So anyway, today's Ed Carter Happy Hour. How's that? And if you guys didn't know who Ed Carter is, he's the gentleman that's working down there with Mr. Newman down there for Dr. Joey McConnell at the Circle M Animal Hospital here in Elk City. And FYI, Dr. Taylor Mouse, that I talk a lot about on the show, and she helps me out, and so do they do at Circle M too on my cattle and stuff. That's Dr. Taylor is Ed's niece. So anyway, he has a gender problem, so he's not working down there at his niece's place, so we'll go with that. But anyway, here we go. Yesterday, a Facebook friend of mine tagged me in this, and he said, this is today's and ag's point to ponder. Bottom line, if you eat, you need to be concerned what's going on in the American agriculture world right now, and it's truth. So on a page called A Farm Wife, it's got some hashtags in there, farm truths, farm life, and time to wake up. So the article starts out, let's pretend your house payment raises, it gets raised from $1,500 a month to $3,000 to $4,000 a month. Then add on your electric bill, which went from $100 a month to $300 or $400 a month. Then add on to your health insurance that grew from $300 a month to $600 or $700 a month. Then your heating bill went from $200 to $400 to $500 a month. Oh, and you must add on a $75 delivery fee charge on top of that. Your food bill rises from $400 to $800 a month. Transportation costs rise from $100 a month to $400 a month, which we can all definitely relate with the transportation cost right now. It fuels so high. Using the low-end numbers, your expenses to survive go up from $2,600 a month to $5,675 a month. That's an increase of $3,075. And oh, by the way, your wages have been cut. Then following the month, maybe up 5% and then down 25% or more. Oh, and I forgot, if it rains, it might take away from your income, or if it snows at the wrong time. You're beginning to see what farmers are facing and have been partially living with. This spring right now, we are trying to decide what crops to plant. What do we need to do to continue to produce food? Seed costs, fertilizer costs, fuel costs, all up 100 to 300%. This will kill some farms. This will greatly hurt other farms. Some farms will adjust and survive. That might not seem like anything you should be concerned about until the grocery stores are more empty, the food you can find will cost more, the medicines you need may be in short supply, other goods, tires, makeup, clothing, and on it goes will change in availability. So please pray for your country, pray for your farmers, pray for the upcoming elections, because you can see the results of what's happening now. So this lady says, I 1,000% believe it doesn't have to be this way. So there you have it. There's your Today in Ag Ponder moment. So anyway, onward Christian soldiers go here. We're going to talk about a little deal from K-State. K-State offers some advice for cattle producers before they hit spring bull sales, which we're already hitting them, but this article just come out, but it's got some good stuff in there. During the late winter and early spring, rural mailboxes seem to be full of bull sale catalogs. In recent Cattle Chat podcast, experts at K-State University's Beef Cattle Institute said that it can be hard to know how to prioritize trades when making bull selection. The most important thing to do is find out what your objectives and your goals are on for your operation. And Mr. Jimmy Taylor and I talked about this yesterday on the show about, you know, he's got an objective. He follows his cattle through to the feedlot, but he's also got another objective out there. He's keeping replacement heifers. So everybody, you got all kinds of things going on there. When viewing catalogs, Wirt suggests that prospective buyers look for bulls that offer trades that enhance the operation. He said commercial producers need to know the genetic and marketing goals of the operation to determine the best breed fit. EPDs are expected can provide these insights on what bulls to add to the ranch. Beef cattle nutritionist Philip Lancaster said producers should determine the traits they really need for improvement. Then look for the bulls that have the EPDs above the average EPD for those traits. But also make bulls have average EPDs for other traits so they don't lose ground in some traits. The marketing plan dictates a lot of what the traits are. You need to pay attention when you're looking at those bulls. There will be selection differences depending on if an acquired bull will be for breeding heifers or breeding cows. K-State veterinarian Bob Larson pointed out that when breeding heifers, the bull's calving ease and calving weight EPDs should be prioritized. But Work said this, there can be a trade-off if producers are only using one bull to breed the entire herd. If you're buying heifer bulls for your cows, obviously there's a potential for less performance and growth in your calves, he said, but also the bulls that are best for breeding heifers are typically the highest priced bulls. Bull acclimation. K-State veterinarian Brian Luber said there are health considerations for bulls once producers bring them home. When bringing a new animal into the herd, producers need to make sure that they are not bringing diseases along with that animal. When separating a bull for biosecurity reasons, it's also a good time to let that bull acclimate to new feed and to the water. Separating the new bull from the others can be beneficial, not only for a health standpoint, but also from a social standpoint, agreed all the experts. When the new bull is introduced, it'll be a smoother transition to add him to the pen at feeding time. If it's a young bull in with a handful of older bulls, the fight for dominance is going to end quickly. There you go. There's your tip from K-State on looking for a bull and what you're looking for. Well, speaking of bull sales, you guys might have heard the commercial here a while ago, but B&L Red Angus Bull Sale is coming up Wednesday, March the 23rd at 1 o'clock. They're going to have 100 18-month-old Red Angus bulls, 30 registered bred fall calving heifers, and 15 registered open heifers. And that's at bnlredangus.com, and that sale will be in Putnam. Well, then Saturday, the Red River Red Angus, March 26th at 1 o'clock. 50 bulls, 25 registered mixed-age cows, 10 three-year-old-plus bulls. For contact on that, go to Cribs, C-R-I-B-B-S, redangus.com, and that's in Vernon, Texas. And then Harrison Cattle Company, right over here to the east of us in Arapahoe, will be having their production sale March 22nd. 48 two-year-old Hereford bulls, 46 spring pairs and bred heifers. And you can go to Harrison Cattle with the number 2 behind cattle at iCloud.com. And that'll be over here at Arapahoe. And then out west of here, the 2022 McIntyre Red Angus sale's going on at 1 p.m. on March 28th. Registered bulls and open females, plus some commercial bred and open females. This is at Sweetwater, McIntyreRedAngus.com. And then, down north of here, the Bexler Ranch Bull Sale. He's going to have Angus, Red Angus, Maine Angus, and Semi Angus bulls up there. And it's coming up pretty quick, March 19th at 11 a.m. at Winoka. And you can go to Bexler, B-I-X-L-E-R, Ranch.com. This view pictures and catalogs and all kinds of stuff. And then one more. We got the all-breed bull sale coming up at the Southwestern Farm and Home Expo show right here in Elk City at the Convention Center at April 2nd at 2 o'clock. And they're going to see Jason Redd's going to be in here in about, not this coming week, but the following week, and he's going to talk about the breeds and who they all got coming in for the bull sale. So, I mean, do you need a bull? Still need a bull? There's plenty left to do. And then Newman Cattle Company. Chad works there for Circle M Animal Hospital right here in Elk City. He's improving genetics and adding weight. Bulls for sale available now. He's got Simmental and Angus, purebreds, 5/8, 3/4, and half. Ages 12 to 20 months old. Some of the sires he's got are May We All, Loaded Up, Loaded Gun, On the Mark, Grand Ole Opry, Broker, Two Step, Sam, Nashville, Grandmaster, Steel Force. If you know Simmentals, you know these bulls. Give Chad a call at 821-0814. He does have some really nice bulls. Make sure you get your bulls tested if you haven't already, and make sure you set up appointments to get them tested so they know you're coming in at Circle M or at Stockman's down here with Dr. Mouse. Get them tested. Lots of valuable lessons learned last year, and if you're only a one-bull herd man, you really do need to spend the money to get your bull tested. It ain't that expensive. It's just time-consuming to load him up and bring him in here. But anyway, get her done. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. The text line is open at 580-225-9697. That's the KECO Ag text line. If you got something on your mind you want to talk about or any questions or if there's something you want to hear on the show in the future, let me know. We got some horse stuff coming up, hopefully the week after next. Talk about some horse stuff we got coming. And anyway, I'm excited. We got a lot of things coming on, a lot of people and a lot of things to discuss at least the next 3 weeks for sure on the show. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 4th. 1,803 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 215 brought 224. 5 at 490 brought 186. 13 at 641 brought 144.50. 4 at 748 brought 134.50. 9 at 1101 brought 118. 7 head of heifers at 371 brought 165. 12 at 473 brought 159.50. 6 at 548 brought 148.50. 7 at 589 brought 143. 4 at 844 brought 130. Butcher cows were 26 to 95.50. Butcher bulls 66 to 170. Bred cows were 700 to 1450. Pairs brought 325 to 1650. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
33 degrees, wind chills 22, winds out of the north at 17 miles an hour, gusting up to 21, and the humidity is 55, so it is chilly out there. Well, I was searching the web this morning before the show, and as everybody knows, OYE's going on. The Oklahoma Youth Expo is going on in Oklahoma City right now, and that's the largest 4-H and FFA stock show in the world. And so be sure, and some of you parents and ag teachers, if you're listening, or somebody that knows somebody's up there showing, if you guys get any results, please let me know on the text line here, or you can text my phone if you want to, 821-6646. If hear anybody in our listening area out here in Texas, or not Texas, but on the Oklahoma side, doing any good or just doing, just let me know, keep me updated, and I'll put it on the show. But while I was doing that, I come across one of our local ranchers over here in Ouachita County, north of Canute, K-Bar Cattle Company, Dean and Kale over there, and they've got some stuff loaded up on steerbitters.com, steerbitters.com, and he's got 25 animals on here. So if you're looking for your kid a new show steer, this is the place to look for it at. Steerbitters.com is an awesome website. It's a really cool website, actually. But I come across one of our local guys got him on. He's got 25 of them. A lot of them are out of Here I Am, and their main Angus Cross, and they look awesome. Just get on there and check them out. And I think it's a, what do you, let me see what it says here. This is a private treaty phone bid off sale. All bids are due to K-Bar Cattle Company by Dark 30, March 20th. I like how Dean put stuff in there. Dark 30. But anyway, you can on the website, Dean's phone number's on there and Kale's website, phone number's on there. So just right over here north of Canute. So if you're looking for one, get her done. All right, on to some not so cool news. The drought map, the U.S. drought monitor was released, and it's not good for western Oklahoma or the Texas Panhandle. The D4, which is an exceptional drought, has been expanded in our area. And it looks like half of all of the Texas Panhandle is in the D4 drought, but the rest of it's still in a D3, so it's not, things aren't much better. Matter of fact, they're worse. But Harmon County, Jackson County, Greer County, all three of those counties are fully under the D4 exceptional drought now. And the southern part of Beckham County is. There's a little corner of Ouachita County, the southwestern corner is there. And the parts of western Kiowa County are in the D4 drought monitor. But it doesn't get any better. So you go north. The northern part of Roger Mills County is now in the D4 drought. Ellis County, a big portion of it. Woodward County, almost all of it. And the western parts of Dewey County is in the D4 drought, with just a little corner of Custer County being in there. But it's just not good. So I was looking at some of this stuff comparing to last week and 3 months ago. But 91% of Oklahoma is under, 91.84% of Oklahoma is in some kind of drought monitor there. In the D1 to D4, 86% of it is in drought. But now, D3 to D4 is 56 to 52%. Or 56.52% of it is in a D3 to D4. And basically everything west of I-35 from Oklahoma City west is in the D3 to D4. Now 12.03% of Oklahoma is in the D4. So hopefully everybody just say a prayer every morning around 7:30 and our luck will change. Yeah, I mean, we got some snow today, but it's not going to, it's not enough. I mean, it ain't hurting, but it's just not enough. So, anyway, Texas Panhandle, you guys same way, just west of us out here in my listening area. Most of you are in a D3 right here next to Oklahoma, but a lot of you are in the D4 now. So, not so good. And I hate bad news. I hate it. Well, it does show here, though, this report that I found on Successful Farming, that the USDA report showing that conservation practices are increasing. And you guys know that I have Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech on here and other people from OSU, K-State, and Texas A&M on here talking about cover crops and stuff like this. But this report's kind of interesting. A new U.S. Department of Agriculture report shows the use of no-till, crop rotations, more efficient irrigation methods, and advanced technologies have climbed in recent years. The report from the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Center, which is the NRCS, demonstrates progress made through voluntary conservation over a 10-year period. Findings from this report will inform future conservation strategies, including the USDA's effort to tackle the climate crisis. The conservation practices on cultivated cropland, a comparison of CEAP number one and the CEAP number two survey data and modeling, was developed by the USDA Conservation Effects Assessment Project, the CEAP. It found significant gains for soil health and soil carbon storage, while also identifying areas where additional and targeted nutrient management strategies are needed. The latest CEAP report shows that farmers have done an outstanding job over the years in using innovative conservation strategies that help climate change, according to the NRCS chief Terry Cosby. But we most work more to do. We got more work to do, he says. Reports like this one helps us understand conservation approaches and make improvements to increase positive impacts. This report will help steer our conservation efforts well into the future and to help us to adapt to changing trends in production, climate, and technology. I'll read a couple of these real quick, and we'll go to break. Key findings include farmers increasingly adopted advanced technology, including enhanced efficiency fertilizers and variable rate fertilizer to improve efficiency, assist agriculture economies, and benefit the environment. More efficient conservation tillage systems, particularly the no-till, became the dominant form of tillage, improving soil health and reducing fuel use. Use of structural practices increased, largely in combination with the conservation tillage, as farmers increasingly integrated conservation treatments to gain efficiencies. Structural practices include terraces, filter and buffer strips, grassed waterways, and field borders. Irrigation expanded into more humid areas irrigators shifted to more efficient systems, improved water management strategies, per acre water application rates decreased by 19%, and withdrawals by 7 million acre feet. That's a lot of water. And I've had the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District on the show a few times, and they're talking about those deals where they're irrigating cotton. They've got those monitors set out there, and the farmers and ranchers are learning a lot of ways that they about, like, when to water, when not to water, and they're saving a lot of water. Sometimes they were overwatering. So anyway, this is coming to a deal. And then one last thing here says the average annual fuel used dropped by 110 million gallons of diesel fuel equivalents, avoiding associated greenhouse gas emissions of nearly 1.2 million tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. So anyway, it's a good report. Well, when I get back, I'll come back with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I'll give you some results from the calf sale at Woodward up there yesterday, so don't go anywhere. It's Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, March the 8th, we sold 681 cows, both calves. Thursday, March the 10th, we sold 4,543 calves and feeders for a total of 5,224 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 80 up to 96, and cows bring 60 to 83, bulls bring 94 to 117. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1325 to 1750, with a 5 day girl bred cows, 1,010 to 1210, 9 and older bred cows, 975. 2 to 4 year old pairs, 1800 to 2100, with a 5 day year old pairs, 1235 to 1400. We had a Red Angus special sale with bred heifers bringing 1700 to 1750, 2 year old pairs, 1950 to 2100, and the bulls bring 3000 to 6600. Very nice cattle, very good sale. Under steer cattle, 4 to 450 steers, 196 to 229, 5 to 550, 180 to 206, 6 to 650 steers, 164 to 180, 1.5, 7 to 750, 152 to 167, 8 to 850, 140 to 155.5, 9 to 950, 136 to 149.50, 30 steers weighing 1,040, bring 134, and 17 steers weighing 1,102, bring 129. Hunter heifers, 350 to 408 heifers, 174 to 193, 5 to 550, 141 to 163, 6 to 650, 142 to 157, 7 to 750, 135 to 148.5, 8 to 850, 132 to 134.50, and a 9 to 950 heifers, 121 to 125.50. Good sale, nice cattle, both sales for this Tuesday, March the 15th. We will have 40 bred cows running age. We've got 20 other bred cows and pairs, more by sale time. The crew worked very hard, selling 4,543 calves and feeders. Finish the sale before 3:30 p.m. Give us a call. Thanks, Kim, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Back. 32 degrees. Temperatures dropping. 20 degrees wind chill. North winds 18, gusting up to 24. Humidity 51. Dew point 16. Today, mostly cloudy. High around 36. Tonight, 16. Tomorrow, sunny. 57. Tomorrow night, 30. Breezy Sunday, 65 degrees. Monday, 64, partly sunny. And then Tuesday, 67 degrees. So anyway, it looks like this might be I guess I'll go out on a limb and say this might be our last cold front. I hope cold front that comes through. I really hope it is. Tired of it already. And it ain't even been that bad this winter, but man, this up and down stuff, it's just like the grain market, just up and down with the weather and stuff. But anyway, that was our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Yesterday at Woodward, if you weren't listening to the commercial a while ago with Jerry Nine, they had 4,543 head and went through there. 100% of them was feeder cattle. Last week they had 8,538 head. 17 head that average weight is 389, brought anywhere from 202 to 213 with 205 an average. 45 head that averaged 4433, brought up to 229, 227, 69. They were thin fleshed. Down here in the 500 pound range, they had 126 head, brought 180 to 202 per hundred weight. And then they had 28 head that averaged 525, brought 205 to 206. They were thin fleshed. 600, 627, 164 to 181. Average price on 600 pounders was around 172.50. And on some 700 pounders, they had 336 head that averaged weight was 763 pounds. And they brought up to $153 per hundred weight. 225 head that averaged 928 brought 144.86. That's on the big boys. On the heifer side, they had 63 head that averaged 373 pounds, brought up to 193. Average price on them was 184.50. 476-pound heifers brought anywhere up to 183, 168, 78 was the average price on them. Some 573-weight heifers, 165. And then down here in the 781 range, they was bringing anywhere from 125 to 135.50, with 133.91 being the average price on them. The Elk City Livestock Auction is happening right now. Get on out there. They got a great restaurant in there. If you like hamburgers, that's the place to go today for lunch. I don't know what their special is today, but they always have a special going on. And then tomorrow is the Hollis sale down there in Harmon County. They always had a good sale down there. They got buyers from both sides of the state line coming in there. Monday, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction's going on down at, or east of Clinton on I-40 there. I don't know why I wanted to say down. And then Tuesday again will be the Woodward Cow and Bull Sale. And Wednesday will be the Hobart Stockyards. And he's got a bunch of cows coming in there next week. So get on their Facebook page. He's got a new person running their Facebook page over there, and they are very up to date. So get on Hobart Stockyards Facebook page and check them out. And also on Woodward, you can get on their Facebook page, and they show their sale live. So, I mean, they move. I mean, they ran 4,500 head through there, and as Jerry said on the deal a while ago, it was, they were done by 3:30. They're moving them. Well, actually, talking about cattle, favorable markets call for a fresh look at your breeding. You guys are going to get tired of me talking about this, but hey, it's bull season. Come on. I need to keep the things going. The cattle industry has breeding gold standards, 85 days to rebreed, a 60-day calving window, and cows in body condition score number 6. These figures are especially important when looking to take advantage of improving your cattle for cattle markets. The 2022 Cattle Facts Outlook forecast 550-pound calves to be at 225. Using these gold standards to achieve more calves and pounds with favorable prices means more potential dollars in your pocket. The management decisions that you make for your herd right now not only affects this breeding season, but your other, it's also letting you hit your targets that you can, because I think cattle are going to be up, especially the lightweights, for quite a while. We go through, Aaron and I were talking about this before the show. You know, we go through, we've always gone through a cycle, and it's a 10-year, give or take a year each way, cycle on a drought. And back in 2012, when we had the worst one ever, 2014, if you didn't make money on your cattle in 2013 and 14, I just don't know what to tell you. And I had 450-pound calves bringing $1,200 back then, so we're getting ready to go through that cycle. That's not a guarantee. Don't bet on me, but it's a cycle. It's a trend. But we didn't have all this crap going on in the world. COVID, Ukraine, this, we didn't have it going on. And let's not forget about what the soybean market is doing down in South America with Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. They're not hitting their markets by no means, their targets by no means. But one of the things you can do with your management decisions with your herd now will not only affect this breeding season, but when hitting your targets, you can now impact on your profitability for years to come. And here are three tried and true nutrition tips to make the most of the favorable market conditions. Make mineral the foundation of your cattle nutrition programs. How many times have you, I learned something yesterday, had a guy call me about minerals yesterday, Mr. Kent Watkins, but you know, when you let your cattle run out of minerals for a week, you're just basically starting all over on, in their blood system, their body system. Don't ever run out of, and I'm guilty of it. I've done it a few times, but not very many. If you go in my pastures right now, you'll find minerals all over the place. But talk to a nutritionist to get the right minerals for what you're targeting. Especially right now, cattle need to have minerals in their body, and they need to be conditioned. They just had calves, but you're just getting ready to turn around and breed them. So providing cattle, mineral, and vitamin supplements helps maintain a consistent body condition score year-round for greater breeding success. Minerals repair the reproductive tract. Cows managed for optimum body condition score at calving rebreed with conception rates of 88% or greater. Cattle Minerals help repair a cattle's reproductive tract after calving and prepare for breeding. If her tract is not fully repaired, a cow may have challenges when rebreeding or might not breed back at all. So basically, I'm reading between the lines here. If your cattle are already on this, your mineral system before they calve and keeping them on it and don't miss out on any of it, make sure the minerals are out all their time and you're looking for that 60-day calving window, but you're also looking for them to breed back very quick too. So if your cattle condition is in really good shape, they will breed back fast and move on with life into the summer for some lush green grass. Nutrition impacts multiple generations. At any given time, a productive beef cow is eating for two or three. She is likely bred, carrying a fetus, or may still be nursing a calf. The nutrients the calf receives at the side can impact the future reproductive abilities for that calf if it's a heifer calf. Additionally, calf nutrition can impact multiple generations of the herd. Dam nutrition can impact full replacement heifer fertility. Remember, don't make the mistake of thinking your forages will provide all the minerals your cattle need to thrive. If you're not providing cattle mineral year-round, you're leaving breeding success and overall profitability to chance. Routinely record and monitor body condition score. If you don't body condition score regularly, it's time to start. So when to collect those body condition scores? Collect scores 60 days before calving, at calving, breeding, and at weaning. It's most important to body condition scores before calving because the condition in which a cow calf impacts has quickly will return to the estrus. The money is the score. A good body condition score can decrease the interval so cows can breed earlier in the cattle breeding season. Like I just said earlier when we was talking about this, cows breed earlier in the seasons, have calves born early in the calving window, which results in more weight at weaning. Plus, if you estimate that a calf can gain between 2.25 and 2.5 pounds per day, every heat cycle is basically worth 50 pounds. So act on body condition score and forage conditions. If you see something going on, get it fixed. Complement forage with cattle supplements. Never let your cows have a bad day. Set up cows for success by providing them with quality cattle, mineral, and protein energy supplements. We have people in our listening area at the co-ops, Kent down at SEI Agritech, any of those nutrition people, if you know one, talk to them, see what's best for your herd. And most of you already know, but there's a lot of people don't. But just remember, do not ever let your cows run out of supplements. It's very important. It's way more important than you think it is. Thanks for listening. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.